This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
TikTok. Still, it's not official, although we know it's going to happen. A deal cut just a few days ago should become a reality. The Prez probably getting ready to sign that sucker, so no border wall, but a way to stop the bleeding and have the government funded. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Boy, do we have some interesting things to talk about, including the California governor saying it's all fake news what the president is saying about this high-speed rail. What's he talking about? That's going to become a reality, I bet. So, wow. Not unusual necessarily for the very liberal governor of California to take on the president in Donald Trump, but it's just interesting what was tweeted out about this high-speed rail. So first, let's talk about Manafort gets slammed by a judge and what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. when it comes to signing the border deal or not, because there still is the power of the pen, and we can speculate as much as we want, but until it's signed, it's not signed. It's like I have a contract with somebody or I have a job, but you're not really in the job yet. Has that ever happened to any of you where you thought you had nailed something and then, whoa, it blew away in the wind somehow? But it is looking as though the president, who is going to, as he says, inspect the bipartisan border agreement for any deal breakers before he signing it. He says, we'll be getting to it. We're going to be looking for landmines because you could have that. That's what he said to reporters when he was meeting with the Colombian president in the Oval Office. He said it's been known to happen to people before, but this Committee on Border Security put a deal together, as we know, a couple of days ago to thwart that government shutdown. And I'll say it again so you know the numbers. Republicans would get $1.3 billion for a physical barrier or wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. They would secure it, I'll say, the Republicans did. That money would build about 55 miles of barricades, give or take, in the Rio Grande Valley. Now, the Democrats get an agreement to limit the number of beds for detainees held at Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities to about 45,000. If for some reason the president doesn't back the deal, funding for 25% of the government would lapse, and that would lead to the partial shutdown, part two. I can't imagine. I think it gets signed, you know, it may be in a late hour, but I don't predict, and it's an easy prediction, that this is going to drag on. It's not going to drag on. Paul Manafort probably wishes that his fate would drag on in a different direction, but in court, a federal judge concluded that he had lied repeatedly again and again and again and again and again and again to federal prosecutors after he promised to cooperate in that whole investigation of Russian interference into the 2016 election. To set it up for you, you all know that Manafort was in the inner circle for the president, and he was the former campaign chairman. He struck a deal before pleading guilty to conspiracy and obstruction of justice. So he faces the prospect of a longer prison sentence. The judge, Amy Berman Jackson, her name, ordered that he intentionally made false statements to the FBI and to prosecutors about whatever interactions with any kind of Russian associates or others. So he was hoping to void the plea agreement in November after prosecutors were alleging over and over that he had misled them about his interactions with, again, Russian business associates, his contacts. And his lawyers revealed that one of the lies he was accused of telling related to his sending polling data to a Russian associate during the campaign. Whoops. That was a no-no. Stupid. Bottom line is, he misled, he misled, he misled, and they're saying at least on 3 of 5. So this is the beginning of what could be a very, very long sentence for him. And of course, unless he gets pardoned, which is a possibility. There were crimes related for his work with a pro-Russian group in the Ukraine. Now, sentencing for both cases has been postponed. They're waiting the outcome of the decision, this judge's decision, about whether he breached his plea agreement. That's happening. But, you know, and the whole what he was spending and his lavish lifestyle and all of that didn't endear him or help him, but it's about everything else in between. You know, the ostrich coat, that was 15 grand, right? The 1 million he spent on suits and sports coats, shirts and jackets. I hope he has those memories and he can live them over and over again when he's locked up. Because as much as people talk about country club prisons, I've been to all three. I've been to a maximum facility, frightening, in Lompoc, California. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I was interviewing a Mary Alito, you know, one of the people that came over in the boats from Cuba, a criminal. And I was in a medium facility, and it was prison. And then the so-called country club prison, same thing. You're still not getting a lot of air. I mean, yes, there's time to go out in the yard and all that stuff, as they call it. But you're locked up. You're not getting out. You see wire around you and a fence. So all those pretty suits, all the lavish vacations, he better tuck them away in a box in his brain, because he could be there for a while. Could be there. He won't be in a Supermax prison with the El Chapo gang, but it doesn't matter what, I think it doesn't matter what the prison's like, because it's still prison. It's still very much being behind bars and not being able to walk away and knowing that you're stuck, to me, just seems so unimaginable. I can't even begin to think what that would be like, especially since I've, as I mentioned, went to, on TV, various TV assignments, went to all three types of prisons and have seen really what that's like. In my mind, what I was painting the picture of when they were saying when Martha Stewart was away, oh, Camp Cupcake, it was no Camp Cupcake. It wasn't. Now, maybe there are some prisons that I'm not familiar with that are more that way, but I don't think so. You still are facing that wire. You still are trapped, can't go anywhere, and you are serving time. That's exactly what happens. You cannot leave. Imagine that. You are stuck. However big that box is, that's it. I mean, that's all you get. Hey, coming up, you know what? It's about the numbers. It's about the numbers, and we're going there next here on America Tonight, so hang with us.
Love is real. Real is love.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Gavin Newsom wanted to inform everybody who is pumping up the plans for a bullet train. He wanted to tell them you need to tamp it down, people, including the Prez. He went after a tweet that the Prez put out about the train and said, whoa, partner, that's kind of fake news. So he's speaking in Sacramento in his first State of the State address since he succeeded Jerry Brown. And you know, Schwarzenegger was promoting the bullet train. Jerry Brown was promoting the bullet train. It would be a 160-mile stretch in the Central Valley where construction is underway. And Newsom said, you know, it's more than a train project. It's economic transformation, and it's going to unlock a ton of potential. But, whoa, you got to hold on here. This train from San Francisco to L.A. is not happening tomorrow. It's been botched, and it cost way too much money for that to happen overnight. And, you know, you got to think about this overnight. I think when I was born, they were talking about a massive bullet train. But seriously, 2008, they were mentioning this. And they were saying it would be open in 2029, and it would cost about $32 billion. Now they're saying it's going to cost double that amount of money. So, $64 billion. And the new gov says, look, there's been no oversight. There's no transparency. We're doing the same old damn mistakes. And that's exactly what he said. So, he's looking to his economic director. as the authority's next chairman to hold the contractors and consultants, as he's talking about, accountable to explain how the money is spent. Ooh, nobody likes that, right? You mean we got to explain everything that we're spending here? I mean, it would be phenomenal for the state if they had it up and working, connecting the North and the South, but it's a train to nowhere. Right now, it's absolutely. I lived in California. I know exactly what it's like to go up and down the North to the North and South to somewhere on the Central Coast, and the traffic is a nightmare. But it's not going to change anytime soon. All right, this is cool. When we talk about numbers, and we can count, and that's the name of the segment, by the way. So the San Diego Zoo confirmed a rare black leopard, sometimes called Black Panther, was spotted by remote cameras set up as a larger study into the populations of the creatures of Kenya. So a British wildlife photographer, a guy named Will Barad Lucas, released some unbelievable images with a pretty close view of a black leopard. And you hear about the black leopards, but they can't find them. You never see them. There have been people that have said there's been a sighting or two, but there's no photographs. And you have to go like 100 years, they say, from the last time they've seen any kind of a photograph of a black panther. It was very cool, I got to tell you. Piercing, piercing eyes. And if you just looked at the picture flat in front of you, it's almost hard to see it. But then you really can. It's brilliant. The photos are incredible. I guess what happened was he used a camera trap that had wireless motion sensors on it, which makes sense. He had a high-quality DSLR camera. They're great. And two or three flashes. And that's what he got in Kenya. And they leave them for several days where they think the leopards are roaming. And they were able to catch it. I just love it. It's a study they're doing into the populations of the creatures in Kenya, the San Diego Zoo. So they confirmed that, put it out there. I think it's super neat. I would be interested in seeing, well, not seeing one approach me, but I'd be interested in seeing a black panther. Let's put it that way, okay? Let's move on to something else. I love this story. I love the story of the dogs, these fatal experiments on dogs that are happening at the VA, and I don't love that, but I love that the Inspector General is looking into this finally, because so many people were up in arms about this, sending emails and saying this controversial research is terrible. And finally, about a dozen lawmakers or so, because this is an easy one to get in front of, right? They sent a letter to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie asking him to suspend the experiments until they do a study. And do a study on the need for dogs as research subjects. That's what the study is. 50 Congress folks from both parties, wow, cooperation, signed the legislation. Like I said, who can't get behind that? They're going to get behind this. And it's awful. And they're saying technology evolves faster than government processes. So the VA has said, admit they've neglected technologies that would give them test information so that this continuing of painful animal testing is just ridiculous. But they're doing it. And they're very aware of it. Too many people are aware that they're doing it. And too much information has gotten out about that. And they did clamp down on some of it, but apparently some of that is still happening. I mean, VA documents show that 5 studies that are being done in 2 different facilities, down from 13 at 6 a few years ago. But the VA shut down 2 dog experiments in L.A., one after researchers determined mice could be used instead of dogs. Oh, thanks. After you already used the dogs. And you know what they do? And I almost feel like I don't want to tell you the story, but the experiments included removing sections of the dog's brains to test neurons that control breathing before the animals were killed by lethal injection. And, oh, thinking of that. And, you know, I never had dogs until I was married and I had this first dog, Mahalo. But I can't imagine that, because we don't live in that age of throwing the dog out in the backyard, and it's not a pet. Now it's like a family member for kids, for adults. Very much animals are soothing and emotional support for so many people, including, of course, people who come back from some horrific situations overseas. So cease and desist, especially, it breaks your heart when they say, oh, yeah, we determined we should have used mice. But we used all those other dogs before that. So moving on. The wreck of the long, long, long lost World War II aircraft carrier USS Hornet. They found it after 76 years. 17,000 feet underwater. 17,000 plus. On the ocean floor, just a tomb. Sadly, 140 sailors died when it sank. Now they found it. A research ship discovered the aircraft carrier in January, resting in the South Pacific. How about that? That's pretty cool. Even though 140 sailors died, about 2,000 were able to scurry to safety. And the Hornet was involved in a lot of big battles in the war, including launching the famed Doolittle raid on Tokyo. And it was also a major part of the Battle of Midway. I remember reading about Midway, but I remember seeing a movie about Midway, too. I think exploring this and pulling this up would be fascinating. So much history, really, with it. And then it made me think, how many boats do you think are laying on the ocean floor somewhere through different battles, whether we're talking back in the pirate days, we're talking about any of these war situations. We know boats that were lost, but these discoveries, I think, are fascinating. And to be on any of those crews and to come across that must be a very cool feeling to say, oh, look what we found. And then they investigate a little bit further, and they realize, yeah, this is 1942 when this was sunk. 1942. What will they find when they go down and then they really look at this? Maybe some interesting artifacts. I'm betting they're going to find some things that maybe could be a little bit revealing. Perhaps. I think it's time to laugh. We need some laughter for sure. And some other frivolity as well. Somebody to salute. My pal John Register, Paralympic athlete. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Border security legislation and funding to keep the government open passed this week is ready for approval. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
As with all compromises, I say to people, support the bill for what is in it. Don't judge it for what is not in it.
The bill has far less than the $5.7 billion the president wanted for border security. Senator Richard Shelby.
This is only a down payment. This is not a panacea. This is not building all the wall.
President Trump hinted he may yet call a national emergency to get more money to build the wall. A former Air Force intelligence specialist has been charged with giving Iran information on a top-secret Pentagon program. Monica Witt first made contact with Iranians while attending an anti-American conference in Tehran. Later, she defected to Iran. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Looking around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room. In the whole wide room. And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you are definitely in the top three.
So we're talking about humor, and it's funny, when you say the word humor, it means different things to different people, I think. I think a day without humor, to me, is like a day without 10 cups of coffee. Casey McNeil joins us now. He is so funny. He is a radio and TV personality, a speaker. He's open for many legends, a comedian himself. Again, just has an incredible body of work. He's been in a ton of movies, so I know that you have seen this face. But we're speaking to him. This is audio, so you're going to have to go and look him up. And it's a handsome, funny guy. Casey, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to be here.
So, humor. This is such a broad question, but when someone says, hey, what's funny? And that's a tough question to answer. What do you say?
Well, essentially funny, I think, is when, I mean, there's different libraries in the school of what is funny. And basically anything that makes people laugh is funny. But there's a few common things that they've determined about it. One most particularly is when you have a line that's like a punchline, so to speak, that refutes assumptions that are made by the story that set it up. For example, something that happened to me last night. In the middle of the night, this crazy woman starts pounding on the door of my hotel room. So, you know, I had to get up and let her out. And so you see, now this is an example of why when you have a punchline that refutes the assumptions made by the setup, whenever there's surprise involved, something funny happens.
Right. I love that. Well, that's like reverse engineering. And you know what? It takes a big brain to do that. It's tough. You got to sit and think about that for a couple of seconds. So it's not what's obvious head on. It's doing what I call reverse engineering. And what you say is, you know, turning around the assumption. And people have certainly made a great living on that, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, indeed, indeed. And that's the thing. Basically, when you can bring surprise into an element that actually works the left and right side of the brain together, they say, and it's sort of in the middle where you get the joke, so to speak. So your brain is functioning in its highest form when you laugh and get the joke.
So when you speak, let's just take speaking, for example. When you're out there speaking, you speak to different groups, and you're Mr. Funny, you get it. How do you know what's appropriate? How do you know what will most likely land? Let's say you had a corporate gig.
Well, you know, this is sort of a published thing to do. They say feel out the audience, you know, which in and of itself can be very fun, although illegal in some states. when you understand what is going to be jokes that have a target that is sort of well-known subjects of commonality, but targets that aren't going to be harmed by what is said, which is why they always say making yourself the butt of the joke can be great, but when you're trying to be a subject matter expert on the stage, that can be tough. So when you want to take something in hand to make a joke about it, it's nice when you can take something that's not too hot of a topic. You know, like at corporate gigs, you know, they always want you to make jokes about the CEO. Not a good idea. You know, they will. They go, oh, he loves it. He loves it when you make fun of him. Yeah, maybe he does, but I'm not willing to bet my paycheck on. So
right.
You got to use things that are subjects that have commonality. People can identify with it. That's why we get that element. Oh, it's funny because it's true. You know, if somebody can identify with something, that's great. Then when you can add that surprise element to it that makes it funny, also great. So I think that using subject lines that have to do with the topic that you are speaking on is a good idea. And they're not that hard to find. Everybody's got their own personal stories, and you can also look some up. And as long as you're quoting a source, you know, it doesn't matter. Funny is funny.
Yeah, funny is funny. I like that. Yeah, I think there's generational humor, though, too. Millennials, what they might find funny, and you might disagree with me, could be very different from an older crowd, a gray-haired crowd, that, let's say. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, for example, the kind of jokes that'll play on a cruise ship for the blue hairs of the world, so to speak, to me, it's a lower-hanging bar. It's lower-hanging fruit. It's a much easier bell to ring, so to speak, than with the younger folks because they've been raised on Family Guy. So, you know, in a cartoon like that, you could tell every joke in the universe in 25 minutes, you know, and make it funnier than somebody standing there trying to deliver the joke to you singularly. So they like everything immediately. They like everything fast, and they want it to be funnier than the last thing that they heard. So they are tough.
That is tough. I'm just thinking right now, that's making me sweat as I sit here and think about Family Guy and what he's done with that animated character and that and the direction that that goes in. You're right. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's almost like how humor used to be, right? It was that 1, 2, 3, that kind of rhythm that if you went to comedy classes that they taught you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so while I've seen that and I've said, well, have they eliminated the need for individuals to stand in front of people and make them laugh? Gratefully, I have found the answer to be, I don't think so, because there are still plenty of people, Louis C.K., you know, lots of guys out there that still work in front of people and still make them laugh, and people will still pay to see them, and, you know, everybody wants something to be funny. You've got the what's in it for me when somebody gives a public speech. You got the what's in it for me thing. Then you have the WIBF, will it be funny, you know? It's sort of like a radio station that you're not necessarily looking for in the morning when you're passing through the radio stations on your car, but when you find it, you're really glad that you did, so you tune in. So humor, I don't think, hurts any presentation aside from, you know, announcement of layoffs and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, but otherwise you can use it. Yeah, fair game. I think it kind of cuts through sometimes whatever it is. Like you're saying, it doesn't matter what it is you're talking about. If you're an expert on whatever subject, there's something about humor, and you mentioned it about the two sides of the brain, getting in that really the sweet spot is the middle spot and people getting it. And do you just know, for you especially, right, because you've done this for so long, what's that feeling like when you know you've landed it?
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world, and it's one of the reasons why I recommend strongly that anybody that speaks in front of audiences have humor ready, have a humorous story, a humorous anecdote, a joke that comes from a book even or something like that. Because when we all get the joke, people connect with you in a certain way that you know that we're all on the same page. You know you have them. I don't want to say you have them where you want them, but you have them where they want you. You have them right where they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you connect in it in such a profound way.
Yeah, boy, so true. So would you recommend that speakers, anybody listening, that they take improv or comedy or something to get themselves maybe a little looser or thinking a little differently?
I strongly recommend that somebody have coaching and mentoring mechanisms at their disposal. If going to a class, it works well for you, try it out. You don't know if it's going to work well or not work well until you do it. If you're scared, you know, that's good. Scared is good because you're going to be scared when you do anything humorous and when you stand up in front of people or any other thing. So embrace the scared and go for it, because telling a joke when you're scared is one of the greatest things in the world, especially when it works out.
Yeah.
So I say, yes, go to those classes. To the degree you can do classes, if you can have a mentor that you pay, a coach, somebody that helps you with it or listens to what you do, that's great. There are also great books out there that's not so much the, you know, how to write comedy and how to write humor, although those are also there. There are books on quotes for speakers, stories for speakers, humorous anecdotes for speakers. And you can find these sorts of things online. But if you go into a bookstore and actually look at the resource section, I like the way books are organized for these because they're topically related. Like, these are jokes about time management. These are jokes about office politics. These are humorous stories about communication. And these things exist so that you can actually access something to get on that plane with other people. You don't have to be a professional stand-up comedian. You don't have to feel like you're stealing other people's things. You're using tools to help entertain your audience to keep your presentation fresh.
Yeah. You've done TV, commercial work, of course, film. You know, you were in Dumb and Dumber, Independence Day, Stephen King's The Stand, Mobsters and Mormons, Spotlight. Of all of the, and this is a tough question, but let's say of all the movies that you've done, what was the best set that you were on?
The best that I was on was actually on a movie called Stronger that I did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tatiana Baslani. I'm brutalizing her name. She's from the Orphan Black. She's probably her best thing to famous Orphan Black. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays the true story about the man that lost his legs and the marathon bombing. No humor there. But on this particular set, I remember going on the set and I had to pretend to eat a meal for about 4 hours. In Panama, it was like I had to pretend to eat this meal. And we were put in the set in this restaurant place. And often they sit us someplace before they take us to the actual set. Well, we were in the set and didn't realize it. And then they brought the food out. And there was a gal sitting next to me, very nice, had like 12 cups of coffee empty around the bottom, talking, very chatty and that sort of thing. And it turned out to be Tatiana. And, you know, we didn't know. You're not meant to talk to the big power stars, you know, unless they talk to you. But she was really nice. It was awesome. And aside from that, making made-for-TV German movies have been my favorites.
I like that. German.
Seriously, they film made-for-TV movies that are made for German TV. The set is meant to be New York. They film them here in Boston.
Wow.
They're my favorite sets to work.
Speak any German?
I don't speak German at all. They speak English. They speak German and a quasi German and English. If I have any lines, it gets post production edits put my words in German. So I don't know. So there are American actors and German actors and actresses. So there's two or three famous German actors and actresses, and then the rest of us are all Americans around there. But they're very nice. The crew treats everybody on the set like they're the same, whether it's the big star or the guy who, you know, holds the mic.
Love it. Casey McNeil, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate.
I am a disco. I am in the Taco Bell. I am a disco. I am in the gates of hell.
Yeah.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's seven-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit escaperightnow.com. Do it now. It's free. Escaperightnow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. Escaperightnow.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Talk to is a guy named John Register. If you haven't heard him, you need to hear him speak. In fact, go to johnregister.com and you can, you know, learn all the details about this tremendous person. He was an All-American track star. Then he was an amputee, and then he overcame that and became a Paralympic medalist. Just an amazing, energetic, engaging. I mean, there's so many adjectives I could use to sum up this guy, but so positive, and you can feel his warmth and positivity when you see him. John, it's good to catch up with you again.
You too, Kate. Great to be on your show again.
So let's talk about, you know, we kind of have, I think a lot of people, since we'll talk about speaking first, a lot of people have this mentality of victimization. Something happens to them, unforeseen. Your life is going on, and it's great, and you've got that plan, and you had a plan, and you were on the right track, so to speak. And then what happens when you get hit with this wicked curveball? I guess you have two choices, right? To either bathe in being a victim or come out of it and emerge maybe even greater. And do you feel like that's what happened to you?
Yeah, we do have a couple of choices because we all will go through some type of adversity in our lives, and how we handle it is either going to push us towards, you know, victory and success and our metal podium performances, or we're going to go down to a downward spiral. And I experienced both of those when I had my injury as the eighth fastest 400-meter hurdler in the country and, the, you know, some 25th in the world at that time. And, you know, in the speaker community, as we say, anytime you have something tragic happen to you, you have a story.
So you did have a story, so you found that story in all right. seriousness. That's crazy. I want to tell people here, because they know how I feel about veterans and people who serve, and we have so many, have had so many soldiers on our show and so many others involved in the military, and you were part of Operation Desert Storm, right? And that kind of disrupted your training program.
That's correct. I joined the military for very personal and selfish reasons. I wanted to continue to run track and field. I was a four-time All-American at Arkansas, and the Army had a program. It's called the Army's World Class Athlete Program. There are actually 10 soldiers on the Rio team this year, as well as two Paralympic athletes on the Rio team that are still on active duty serving in this program. On my way to do my training, I got called up for Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and I was terrified, went to the war, came back without a scratch, and then began my preparation training for the 1992 Olympic Games.
Yeah, and that's when you had your accident. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, I was training for the games after 92. I finished 17th in the 400-meter hurdles, had a real good shot at making the team in 1996. I went across the hurdle in a training session and landed awkwardly, dislocating my left knee, severing the artery behind the kneecap, and then 5 days later, making the tough decision to actually amputate the leg because of poor circulation and the arterial blood flow, which, of course, moves blood away from the heart to the lower portions of our body. And I had to make that tough call. And it wasn't easy. I mean, the pain actually spoke for me, but after the amputation, I looked down at my 29-year-old life, and all of a sudden, I was changed. I was different, and I had to begin the process of creating a new normal.
Yeah, and it didn't take long, actually, for you, John. I'm not surprised because you're such a driven person. But what was it, 18 months later, you're competing in the Paralympic Games in Atlanta?
Right, and 18 months prior, I didn't even know about the Paralympic Games. I didn't know there was this parallel games for athletes with physical disabilities and visual impairments. It was my wife who actually not really told me about the games, but actually put me in the mindset to get back to a healthy and active lifestyle. And as I was struggling, as many of us do with our challenges, she said, you know what, we're going to get through this together. It's just our new normal. And that, those were the words that pushed me to say, I can't wallow in what has happened, what's transpired, because that leg is passed. And I didn't overcome the amputation because if I'd have overcome the amputation, I'd have my leg back, right? Mm-hmm. I overcame those things that were the stigma I had against myself, the stigma of other people saying what I could or could not do if they were in my situation. And, you know, why those stigmas were there in the first place. Those are the things I had to overcome. And I also had a great avenue of sport and swimming to help me get back to a healthy and active lifestyle, and I just happened to fluke up, mess up, and actually make the Paralympic swim team.
Yeah, and you know, it's great, too. So you make that team, and then there you are at the Paralympics in Sydney, Australia. What was that like for you? That had to be awesome.
The Paralympic Games in Sydney was probably the best experience of my sporting life, not just because of the competition and that we trained for. In my case, this was 20 years of culmination, an injury, an amputation, and then getting back and on the track. And now here I am, you know, 6.5 years post-injury, and I'm competing in a long jump for a medal. And I wound up winning silver by, you know, the gold medal was 4.5 inches farther than I jumped. And to have that experience with all my family there, with an amazing crowd of Australians that were supporting every athlete, this whole movement of just celebrating who we are as humans was it's indescribable, that feeling. And it wasn't just for the athletes. It was also for those that were witnessing this. I call it the what to wow. Because when we watch Paralympic sports, some people think it's going to confuse it with Special Olympics. And it's not. It's a difference. It's a total different governance structure. It's not participatory. Special Olympics is. This is gold, silver, and bronze. People are going to fight and scratch and scrape and train as hard as they can to be the best in the world. And when you see that moving forward, this what to wow is, what is this all about? What are we watching here? And then you see a person with no legs run underneath 11 seconds for a 100-meter dash. You say, wow, that was amazing. Or you see somebody swimming about a second slower than Michael Phelps, and they're missing a leg. These are amazing, incredible athletes, and they don't think of themselves as something special or superhuman. They're just doing what everyone else in society wants to do, and that's be treated with dignity and respect. The last growth is that we go from the what to wow, and then oh, and that's where I want to get to with Paralympic sport is, of course they should be doing this. It shouldn't be any different than us celebrating, you know, when LeBron won, you know, for the Cavs this year in basketball, or Steph Curry shooting lights out in threes. If you practice at excellence, you will have excellence. And that's in any walk of life. I don't care if you're CEO or if you're opening up doors as the frontline leader. If you practice it, you will become that which you want to be.
Wow, great words. Practice it, you'll become that which you want to be. And you said the Paralympics, because I've been watching them for a long time, are incredibly competitive. It's, like you said, not to be confused with Special Olympics for some reason. Initially, I think people just didn't realize what Paralympics was, but now I think there's no question about it. It has become bigger and bigger and bigger, and if you watch the Olympics, they're emphasizing it. They're talking about it, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, you can watch, you know, an American audience, if you're watching and you're paying attention to the commercials that are on right now, they're teasing up the 66 hours that NBC is going to be showing the games that start on September 7th in Rio de Janeiro. So you're going to, companies are starting to align with social causes around Paralympic athletes because they realize that these athletes are training at the same rate and sometimes even harder and have greater physical ability than their Olympic counterparts. So, for example, BMW is unveiling their wheelchair racing chair for our athletes who are going to be competing on the track. It's an amazing. They have jumped the game in wheelchair racing design by 10 years, at least 10 years. It's amazing. They built out the two-man bobsled for our men's and women's bobsled team. So we're using technology to advance it forward.
Wow. Love it. All right, we'll be looking for that for sure, John, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. I'm going to tell everyone again, go to johnregister.com. Great speaker for people listening that have businesses. Everybody's clamoring to get him in their house. John, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you a little later.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.